and welcome in to another edition of the PHNX Diamondbacks podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as the mayor, according to this picture on the wall behind me. This man, your vice mayor, my thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman. Arizona Diamondbacks come off a successful home series against the Cardinals, taking 2 out of 3. And here we are. Happy Jackie Robinson Day to you all. I got my fit on in honor of Jackie Robinson. But the Diamondbacks have a big series now against the Cubs that they start tonight at 6:40. Meantime, they're at 500. They did the thing. They overcame the Cardinals. Ryan Nelson, Zach Gallen both looked very good in the series this weekend.
They really did. Yeah, I mean, things change pretty quick this time of year, it feels like. I mean, I think a week ago, the sky was falling around here. The Diamondbacks, yes, after losing that first game to the Rockies, were 4-7.
And people
were not super happy about things. But yes, now we are back. Diamondbacks go 4-2 against the Rockies and then against the St. Louis Cardinals this weekend. All in all, a pretty successful week for the Diamondbacks, and we'll see if they can continue the good vibes here, Derek.
Known Jace Peterson truther, piece of Yoshi, says 2 out of 3, both games Jace played start to finish. Coincidence?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. It's absolutely a
100%
coincidence.
It's a coincidence.
It's because the starting pitching shoved, and to be honest, the bullpen was actually pretty good in this series as well. Ryan Nelson went out there, 6 innings plus pitched. He gave up 7 hits, 1 earned run allowed, 1 walk. And 4 strikeouts, and Ryan Nelson was exactly what the Diamondbacks needed. All 3 pitchers in this series went out there and gave him 6 innings, which was, again, something that they very much needed with what's been going on with their bullpen, at least how unreliable the bullpen has been. But some pieces have been very reliable, including Bryce Jarvis, who has proven so far to be an asset for this team.
I wonder if there will come a time not too far from now where Bryce Jarvis will take on a more significant role in the Diamondbacks bullpen.
Yeah.
Those weren't necessarily, you know, it was a low leverage situation that he pitched in yesterday. It wasn't necessarily a mop up role. I mean, the Diamondbacks still had a lead to protect, but it was a bigger lead. And up to this point, we haven't really seen Bryce Jarvis in some of those tighter late game situations that have been a big problem for the Diamondbacks bullpen so far. And you wonder, I mean, as he continues to really have success with this new cutter that he's been throwing. He's throwing the 4-seamer less. He's throwing the cutter more. Or he's throwing the cutter at all. He didn't have that pitch prior to about a month ago, as far as we know. And he's looked really good in that role. He kind of reminds me of Dre Jameson last year when the Diamondbacks bullpen wasn't necessarily fantastic. Dre Jameson was able to come in and give them some length and some really key moments. And Dre did pitch in some higher leverage situations.
Dre got that fire in the blood. Right?
He did have some fire in his blood, and it appears that Bryce Jarvis may also have fire,
in his blood.
So, yes.
The Diamondbacks secure their first shutout win over the Cardinals at Chase Field since 2016. That's a long time considering how many games they play against the Cardinals every year. This isn't like the Yankees where it's an AL opponent that comes in rarely and, you know, there's been gaps. This is somebody that comes into Chase Field quite often. So great win to get the shutout. However, still a little surprising, a little shock there that was the first shutout since 2016.
The Diamondbacks, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the Diamondbacks like all-time record against the Cardinals is really bad, I'm pretty sure. Like, I do not think the Diamondbacks play the Cardinals well at all.
I don't want to know what it is.
But yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are not the team that we've seen over the larger part of the last decade, right?
That's
like
fair.
Not to say the Diamondbacks just went in and took 2 out of 3 from the Rockies. I think the Cardinals are a better team than that for sure. But I picked the Cardinals to win the NL Central, Derek, and I don't feel so great about that here in the early going. It's still very, very early. So who knows? But you could tell, like, Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, although they did have their moments throughout the series, I don't think those guys are fully locked in at this point, and they really need those guys to both be excellent hitters for that lineup to really work.
Arenado hit the hell out of a ball in one of these games.
He did.
That's for sure.
True. That was a big 3-run home.
Bob and Steve were talking about, like, Goldie, like, retiring in the middle of the
broadcast. Don't really know what that was about.
They were
talking about how, like, theoretically, his last at-bat on Sunday could have been his final at-bat at Chase Field. Because this is the last year of his contract with the Cardinals, and I guess you don't really know what he's going to do from this
point. And then
point.
They were like, they said something like, you just never know, you know, like with what's circulating or something, something along those lines where they made it seem like it was like a rumor. And then I looked up, I was like, he's not that old. He's 36.
Yeah, no, I fully expect Paul Goldschmidt to continue playing. I mean, I guess if he were to sign with an American League team, like, you know, maybe the D-backs would play that team on the road next year. You know, here's one, just a 1 year deal.
One thing I think is that Paul Goldschmidt strikes me as the kind of guy that doesn't want to go out there and perform the way he's performing right now. Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like based on his simple approach to the game itself, which we used to joke about the whole Paul Goldschmidt, I'm just going out there and trying to hit the ball hard. After a while, you felt like that really wasn't just a mask. It wasn't just an easy thing for him to say to us as the media to get us out of his face. It was legitimately a mantra of his. It was legitimately his mindset. He's trying to go out there, clear his mind as much as possible. He didn't want to know how many RBI he had at that point in the season. He didn't want to know how many home runs he had. He didn't care about that. And he felt like when he knew that information, it would just impact him negatively. He liked to take as simple of an approach to the game as possible. So I don't know. There's something about him that strikes me as the kind of person that would potentially, you know, not want to continue playing baseball if he if he feels he can't still perform at a high level, right?
But that's fair.
He has a Hall of Fame push he needs to make, though. That's the problem, is that he's kind of a borderline guy, and every statistical improvement helps him get over that line. So I don't see him retiring because he wants that bust in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, yeah, and I think it's important to keep perspective on, like, Paul Goldschmidt wasn't his MVP self in 2023, but he still had a 120 OPS plus and, you know, is still a pretty good defensive first baseman. Sure. Like, that's still a really valuable player, and I expect him to be that again this year. Like, yeah.
Elise says Derek hates Paul Goldschmidt and isn't afraid to tell everyone.
You're disqualified from talking about Paul Goldschmidt.
I don't hate Paul Goldschmidt.
What a lie, Jesse.
I absolutely don't hate Paul Goldschmidt.
You get a load of this, Jesse? We receive about 7 text messages this weekend from Derek making fun of Paul Goldschmidt, and he has the audacity to tell us that he doesn't hate Paul Goldschmidt.
I don't hate Paul Goldschmidt. Liar. It's the
overrated, right, Derek? That's how you feel about this guy?
Now he's closer. He's closer to my actual opinion, but I do not hate Paul Goldschmidt. I actually very, very much like Paul Goldschmidt. Like I said, Goldie was always No, I'm like every Diamondbacks fan. He was a god while he was here. He played incredible. I mean, he was everything to this franchise. I still think that if he does make it in the Hall of Fame, he absolutely should be a Diamondback, even though most likely he wouldn't be, but hopefully he would be.
If he chooses to be a Cardinal, I'll be on your side with you. How's that sound?
Okay, that's fine. Until then, ride or die.
Goldie forever.
But I'll say, like, as far as a person goes, he was a tremendous person. He was a very, very good person to be around. He was absolutely great to this community, and I was involved with actually his charity that he was doing, where he was raising money for the Phoenix Children's Hospital. So I don't hate Paul Goldschmidt. Don't you dare. I just think that some people shouldn't be idolized, and that probably goes for most baseball players.
When you were out at this charity event, did you tell Goldie about how you think Diamondbacks fans, like, fell in love with him a little too much? Did you explain any of this narrative to him while you were out there?
Before I really established this narrative, he was still a Diamondback at this time.
So you were still a sane person at the time. Okay, yeah, got it. Yeah.
Yes, Seth Harper, absolutely. Walker, Goldschmidt, way down here. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Let's not even go there. But the Diamondbacks have, by the way, scored a lot of runs in bunches. In fact, all of their runs seemingly come in bunches, and those bunches do not come late in the game. In fact, after this series, the Diamondbacks have now scored 77 runs this season in innings 1 through 6, which leads all of Major League Baseball in those innings. And then they have 9 runs total in innings 7 through 9.
Yeah,
nine
I mean,
runs total.
Yeah, they just took 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals, but like, it wasn't like scoring runs in innings 7 through 9, like, wasn't even on the table, right? I mean, that's just not something the Diamondbacks do at this point. It's just not in their DNA.
This team is ridiculous.
Yeah,
this team is ridiculous.
There's a lot of weirdness early on. Like, it started out as the Diamondbacks only score runs in the first inning.
That's true.
And now it feels like we veered. I mean, they still did score a run in the first inning in one of these games. I can't remember which one off the top of my head.
Yesterday's game.
No, they didn't score. No, they didn't score anything.
No, until, I'm sorry. Saturday's game.
It was Saturday's game. You're right. Yeah, they scored a run in the first inning on Saturday. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, like on Friday, the Diamondbacks scored all six of their runs in the fifth inning. They were down 6-0 and came storming back and tied the game. Didn't win that one, of course. They lose 9-6. And then, as you said, on Saturday, they get one run in the first, but then their other three runs come on a big Lourdes home run in the fifth or in the sixth inning. And then on Sunday, all of their runs come once again in the fifth inning with a five spot there. So yeah, now it's just become this for, I don't know how to explain it, but they just score all their runs at a given time. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like,
no, I guess I mean,
five runs, six, like these numbers will work, but it's a little weird how it's happening.
It is weird. And you would, I guess there would be some comfort in it being spread around because you don't start overthinking this, right? You don't start overanalyzing if this team is going to be this bad in late innings all season long. If they are a team that once they have once they're behind going into inning seven, they never win a baseball game, right? Like that's the thoughts that start creeping in here. They have come behind from behind late. They just haven't scored a lot of runs so far this season. But I mean, it does start, you start to wonder if it's going to become a concerning thing. But right now you could look at it at the opposite. Like the Diamondbacks at any point can post six runs in an inning almost effortlessly. You timed it. It was 13 minutes that they went from being down six to tying the ball game in that one game. Right. So like this team can just instantly be back in a game no matter the deficit. And that, if you want to be a glass half full, if you want to be cautiously optimistic, that is something that is good, that this team can score in bunches the way they have. And it doesn't really feel like a lead is safe when they're down. However, it doesn't really feel like a lead is safe when they're up either. And that's the problem. At least this series, much more encouraging. Let's take a look at the count for the series. And you will see here, Diamondbacks scored more runs in the series, 15-11. The Redbirds out-hit the Snakes, 29-22. With runners in scoring position, Diamondbacks were excellent in this series. 8-for-21 for a .381 batting average to the Cardinals, 6-for-26 with a .231 batting average. Starting pitching ERA, good for the Diamondbacks, 3.50 to the 5.87 for the Cardinals. But then once again, the Diamondbacks make a relief. You know, the bullpen look like absolute all-stars. I can only imagine what their ERA is against bullpens this season, but it has to be sub one.
It might be sub one.
Oh,
Jesse, what do you think that is? It's probably pretty close to sub one.
Yeah, I mean, if they've only scored nine runs in innings 7-9 the whole year, then yeah, it's probably around one.
16 games, nine runs.
Not great.
Yeah.
But the Diamondbacks did have a kind of a different star every night of this one. That's why it was a little hard for us to determine the King Snake, honestly, because nobody stood out. Lourdes Gurriel had himself an excellent game on Saturday.
He had the big hit.
Christian Walker was huge for this team on Sunday. Eugenio Suarez, great on Friday. Each day it was a different guy that stepped up. I think that is what the character of this team is, right? Like there's going to be nights where Corbin Carroll goes 0-4, but he has other teammates that are going to pick him up and have a great night. So far, we've seen that out of the Diamondbacks, aside from Ketel Marte really managing to stay fairly consistent. Feels like this team kind of goes up and down, but luckily they have somebody that steps up so far every night.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we expected that to be a characteristic of this team going into the year, that it wasn't necessarily that their middle of the lineup was going to be better than their opponent's middle of the lineup. I think oftentimes that might not be the case, actually. It's just that the Diamondbacks have a very well-rounded lineup, that you have Ketel and you have Corbin Carroll and you have Christian Walker and Lourdes Gurriel and Jock Peterson and Gabriel Moreno. There's just a lot of, and Eugenio Suarez, there's just a lot of weapons that the Diamondbacks have. It's a much more balanced lineup than we've seen in recent years, and it's certainly paid off for them so far.
Well, the guy that we are giving the King Snake to is the milkman, the real milkman, Zach Gallen. six innings in his start on Sunday, zero earned runs, seven strikeouts. Gallen has been incredible in four starts. He has a 1.64 ERA, I believe, if that's correct.
Yeah, I think so.
In front of me. Yep. Yeah, 1.64 ERA. My God. I mean, the milkman has, in fact, delivered.
he has. And there were a lot of questions coming into the year, you know, with all the innings that he piled up last season and kind of a delayed buildup this year, which was very intentional. What was this going to look like for Gallen? And so far, so good. You really can't have asked for anything more. We talked about some concerns with his fastball life and the velocity. And I haven't looked at the numbers from his start yesterday, but that, at least in terms of life, some of the vertical ride numbers jumped in his second start. And frankly, he's Zach Gallen, right? And he just at this point is the kind of pitcher who can put up pretty good results, even if he doesn't necessarily have his best stuff. And I really don't think he's had his best stuff overall this season. But when you're dealing with a guy who just is such an elite level talent like Zach Gallen is, sometimes you kind of just throw that stuff out the window. And it's like, yeah, he's Zach Gallen. He's still really good, even if he's, you know, 80% of himself or whatever.
We want our Cy Young this year. We want our Cy Young this year.
Yeah.
It's coming home.
It's a pretty good start.
I'd put some money on it, that's for sure. Of course, speaking of money, one thing that Jesse likes to put his money on is numbers. He loves numbers. He got super excited when I was doing some in my head math earlier, right? I did the ERA for the bullpen, which was really easy in my head. But
yeah, you figured out that if
they went 9 innings and gave up 4 runs, their ERA is 4.
Well, that's done, all. Derek.
I did that, son. I did that math. But Jesse actually has some better numbers for you for this week's edition, or today's edition of Numbers Don't Lie. What do we got, Jesse?
Yeah, so today's number is 31. And 31 is the percentage of pitches. There it is. Ryan Nelson threw 31% cutters in his start on Saturday,
really?
Which
wow.
was the second highest percent.
Behind the fastball, obviously.
Yep. Four-seamer was definitely his most used pitch. But with Ryan Nelson, it's no secret. He's been searching for a secondary pitch that would work well with his four-seamer for a long time. He has a variety of pitches, right? I mean, he throws a changeup, he throws a slider and a cutter. But what we saw from him on Saturday was a cutter that was better than I think anything we've seen in the past.
What action does a cutter have that makes it different from a fastball? Because it's still a fastball, right? Essentially.
Yeah, a cutter is still, yeah, it is technically a subtype of fastball, but a cutter is a little bit slider-ish. Generally, four-seam fastballs move arm side, whereas a cutter would move glove side. So it sort of moves like a slider, except just not as dramatically. It tends to be thrown a little bit harder, which was actually a big story for Ryan Nelson. Last year, his cutter, according to StatCast, averaged like in the mid-80s. And so far, at least in that start on Saturday, his cutter averaged 91.5, something around there.
That would be like throwing a fastball in the mid-80s, essentially, right?
Yeah. And so the way that he described it after the game is that throwing it that hard, it makes it harder for the hitter to separate the cutter from the four-seamer. It looks like a four-seamer longer coming in. And as a result of that, it's just more deceptive to the hitter. He got some ground balls. He didn't get a ton of swing and miss. He only got one whiff on that cutter in that game, but it was still really effective just pitching, pairing that with the fastball. Those two seem to tunnel really well together. And we have a clip. I believe we have a video clip of Ryan Nelson after the game talking about just how he feels now that he knows he has like another weapon in his arsenal.
Tough
yeah,
spot,
for sure.
A little different.
A little bit of confidence just knowing that I have another weapon in my back pocket to go to when backs against the wall.
And that probably lets you have a, I don't know, Steve's question, you know, kind of handle that sort of tough
yeah,
spot
for sure.
A little different, knowing like,
yeah,
when, trust this pitcher.
Yeah, 100%. If it's second and third and they know I'm just going to throw a bunch of fastballs, it probably goes differently.
Well, and I think obviously because of the high percentage of fastballs he typically throws, having any kind of pitch in there that kind of changes in any way and is different, comes off the bat, just doesn't hit the bat the same way because of its movement, is going to be effective for him.
Yeah.
Especially considering, like you said, if the tunneling there, if the pitch motion is the exact same as the fastball, it's going to be hard for them to pick up when he's throwing one or the other. And that could be all Ryan Nelson needed, because we know his fastball is good. We know that he has been effective for this team at times. It's just a matter of he tends to rely on that fastball a little too much. And if he's not locating, that's problematic for him, basically. I mean, it's there's no out for him. When Zach Gallen's loses a little bit of velocity or Zach Gallen isn't locating, he has ways, like Jesse said, and that's why he's an elite level pitcher, to creatively get around that so that he's still effective without having to rely on that particular thing that might not be working that night. That's why Gallen always says something isn't working, because for him, everything doesn't work on any given night for Gallen, right? And it makes sense, but it also doesn't, because how are you so good when a part of your arsenal wasn't working, right? Ryan Nelson doesn't have as many options as Gallen, but still he is developing. That's the point of these young guys getting this playing time. When you see Ryan Nelson, when you see Tommy Henry in there, again, these guys, even if everybody comes back and they're no longer needed in the starting rotation, it doesn't mean that they won't be called upon again at some point this season. That's just the way that Major League Baseball goes, the way that depth goes. You've seen all of these tweets about how many guys are injured and how many elbow injuries there are and all this stuff. I mean, for the most part, at least the Diamondbacks have avoided anything catastrophic, but they could still have, you know, even guys out for a short term that they're going to need to rely on Ryan Nelson again. Right now, we don't know when Erod comes back, and Ryan Nelson could very possibly be who the Diamondbacks keep in the starting rotation, but we will talk about that here shortly. Of course, we do thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. Drop us a like. Gabby would love it if you dropped us a like. Of course, if you are listening on the audio podcasting side, make sure you subscribe over there as well. Leave us a review. We always appreciate that feedback. And of course, 5-star reviews definitely help us out. Earlier, Damon was talking about Zach Gallen for Cy Young. So now might be a great time to drop a little bit money on Zach Gallen for Cy Young over at the BetMGM Sportsbook app. Of course,
I sure did.
Sign up. Yeah, did you? Did you get on that? Yeah, that's a good get. I might tail on that. But you got to download the Sportsbook app first on iOS or Android, or visit BetMGM.com and sign up using our code of PHNX. Deposit $10 into your newly created account and bet that amount or more on any standard bet. And if you lose on your first wager, you'll receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if that bet loses. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Sign up now for BetMGM. Pop over to the PHNX Bet Show, get some more bets that you could tail on, and use that bonus code of PHNX. Place your first sportsbook wager through the mobile application of at least $10. You will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details, and now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Well, again, if you want to get those Puerto Rico vibes, you can head on over to Gila River Resorts and Casinos, because nobody does it better. They offer an authentic and immersive experience with an unprecedented level of entertainment and excitement that you just won't find anywhere else. Of course, they have their casino floor. They have the poolside. You can be sipping frozen beverages when it gets really hot out here, like later this week, out at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. And their state-of-the-art gaming floor has it all, with over 800 slot machines, 15 blackjack tables, live table games, and of course, Arizona's largest casino sportsbook. Head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what the next level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details. Well, Jesse, we have a game tonight, of course, but
yeah,
that doesn't change what today is. It's Monday. Every year, obviously, on the show is our year. Every week on the show is Shark Week. Every month on this show is Women's History Month. Of course, every day is Earth Day, but on Mondays are special. Every Monday, we go to the mailbag. Damon, shall we go to the mailbag?
My mailbox, always something interesting in my mailbox. I try to get to everything in my mailbox. And then once in a while, there's a letter that makes me go, wow, wow.
All right, first question comes from our guy, Aaron Hughes. Thank you, Aaron Hughes, for the strong, strong podcast download numbers in Germany. We appreciate that, by the way. We did look.
We were like top 10 in Germany.
Yeah, we were top 10 in Germany. And when we looked at each other, we were like, Aaron Hughes. It's got to be because of our Aaron. So we appreciate you, Aaron. And Aaron's question is, what do you think happens with the roster situation when Monty makes his debut? Obviously, we're talking here about Ryan Nelson, and his chances of staying in the rotation so far, it does feel, especially with that cutter added to his arsenal, that Ryan Nelson has kind of made a step forward and possibly become the favorite to stay in the rotation once Montgomery joins the group. By the way, Torrey still not down with Monty because, as he said, he doesn't really know him yet. So he can't just be calling a guy he doesn't know nicknames, and that's something that we should probably maybe follow on this show. But anyway, Monty, Jesse, what do we do until Monty comes back? Or when Monty comes back?
Yeah, I mean, if you had asked me this on Friday before Ryan Nelson had pitched against the Cardinals, I wouldn't have known then, and I still don't know now. Sure. So I want to make that clear. But if you had asked me then, I probably would have guessed that Tommy Henry would be the guy to stay in the rotation, and that maybe the Diamondbacks would look at moving Ryan Nelson to the bullpen to see if he had more success there. After seeing Ryan Nelson do what he did on Saturday, it's going to be hard to take that guy out of the rotation after the start that he just delivered. I think there's been a sense for a while that Ryan Nelson's ceiling is higher than that of Tommy Henry. I mean, he has a potentially elite level four seam fastball. It's just a matter of kind of figuring out the rest of the arsenal, and he's starting to do that. And I don't know if you really want to take him out of the rotation at this point. So, I mean, the way that things line up, Ryan Nelson, it would be slated to pitch, I believe, on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, or no, on Thursday. So Ryan Nelson right now would line up to start the first game of the San Francisco series, and then Jordan Montgomery, you could slide him in for the second game on the 19th. The 19th is the date that he gave, that he told the media when he was originally introduced. So at the very least, I feel like Ryan Nelson bought himself another start, right?
Sure.
I would be surprised if the Diamondbacks moved Montgomery to the 18th in order to just remove Ryan Nelson from the rotation. Maybe the D-backs want to buy more time, though. Maybe they let, I mean, Tommy Henry's going to start in this Cubs series. Maybe Ryan Nelson, you know, he gets that start on the 18th, and maybe they wait until after that to decide what they're going to do moving forward. I mean, they could take this all the way up until basically the day that Jordan Montgomery makes his first start with the team, and then, you know, push that decision down the road. But yeah, I'm still intrigued at what Ryan Nelson could give the D-backs in the bullpen. I think it could be really good, and this is a team that does need bullpen help. We've certainly seen that in the early going, but I don't know if they're about to take him out of the rotation after what he just did.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Tommy Henry, when the time comes, will be sent down to Reno to stay stretched out as a starting pitcher. Meanwhile, I think Ryan Nelson, when Erod comes back, will be pushed to the bullpen. And I think that at that point, we might see, a more complete pen. I don't know what they're going to do as far as roster moves, because they have a lot of things to take care of in regards to that. A lot of difficult decisions to make, because once some of those decisions are made, they're not going to be as easy as, you know, sending a guy down. They're going to be a bit more permanent. So that's going to be difficult when that comes along. However, I do think that that is a good reason that all of these guys at this point should stay motivated. Nobody's job is safe, especially if you're a pitcher in this organization at this point, unless your name is Gallen or Kelly or Brandon Pfaadt. But like, nothing is, your future is not secure. So right now, some of the guys who aren't performing in the bullpen, like Scott McGuff, and you know, Castro, for instance, like, those are guys who might become a bit more expendable when those tough roster decisions come around. That's really what's happening. But right now, the Diamondbacks just don't have a choice. They don't have enough arms for them to, you know, kind of move on and give other guys opportunities at this point.
I feel like the fact that Erod had that setback, it does make me, at least if I were the Diamondbacks, I'd be a little more hesitant to push one of the guys in the bullpen and lose that option in the rotation.
Right.
Because then if another injury pops up, then you don't have a whole lot of depth at that point, right? I mean, Slade Ciccone is there in Reno. You'd probably feel okay about giving him another shot.
Yeah.
But behind him, there's not really an obvious, like, oh yeah, this guy in AAA is ready to make starts in the majors.
Christian Mena, Jesse.
Potentially. I'd be intrigued
Justin
to see
Martinez.
What it would look like.
Give me Justin Martinez up here. He's been throwing
you
gas.
You want Justin Martinez
not
for five innings?
No. I just want him in the pen. Just give me these guys from the minors right now.
They just might be more careful with their starting rotation depth given what happened to Erod. But yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. All right, next question comes from our guy, Travis Moore, and I think this is more of the same question, actually.
Yeah.
More for me, he says, whose spot is Monty taking in the rotation? Do they head to the bullpen or down to Reno? I think we kind of answered that for the most part, but I did want to highlight another part of Travis's question, in fact. He sent a wonderful note, and he said, P.S., Damon, I appreciate the shout-out from last week. I could talk ball, and specifically D-backs ball, all day long. I love your guys' show on top of that. Probably my favorite to listen to when I run in the morning, especially on recovery days. When you guys do the mailbags, it feels like I'm part of the conversation for a brief moment, and I really enjoy that. Thanks for always engaging us. Well, thank you, Travis, for always sending and your wonderful questions.
Travis, much apologies for Derek killing your Iron Man streak of being question number one.
Yeah.
That felt a little...
Yeah.
It felt very unnecessary.
Jesse, I'll be honest. If he said, P.S., thank you, Derek, in that message, there's no chance it's not the first question,
I was
going
to kick one of the questions out just because he addressed Jesse directly, like as if, what, am I not here? Am I chopped liver? It wasn't a question about teaching in Seattle. It was a question about ball. I get included on all those. Jesse doesn't get included in the wrestling ones. I get unincluded from the math ones. That's the way it works around here. But anyway, thank you, Travis. And I think hopefully we answered your question. But things get complicated for this team. That's essentially what this comes down to. When the Diamondbacks do have these guys return, these decisions don't get made any easier. And then there's the question of, does Jordan Montgomery continue to perform the way he's been performing in Reno so far, right? I know this question might be a few questions down, Damon, we get the one from, I think it's 13, Alanis? It's the final question of segment one. And that question is, Jesse, this was the one I was talking about. Like, I'm fucking chopped liver over here. Jesse, what are your thoughts on Monty's two starts with Reno, specifically against Tacoma? Tacoma Daddy, he's a bum from Tacoma. Will the results translate to Major League Baseball?
A few thoughts on this. So Jordan Montgomery's line, for those who didn't see on Saturday, in his final tune-up, presumably, in for Reno, 3 2/3, 9 hits, 7 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Ugh. Not exactly what you're looking for from your $25 million man in his final tune-up before he joins the team. His sinker velo was still down a bit, 91.4. So it's about 2 miles an hour lower than where it was last season with the Rangers. Still probably too early to be all that concerned about that. I looked through some of the batted ball stuff, and there were a few hits in that game that were, I think there was a double that was kind of a chopper. There was a single that was a chopper and, you know, not hit super hard. There was a double at like 85 off the bat. He gave up 2 homers. One of them was very much legitimate by Cade Marlowe. But the other one, looking at the exit velo and the launch angle, probably like just barely got over the fence or something. So for whatever that's worth, I mean, I'm not here to say he pitched well. I do think I wasn't there for this, but Torrey was asked about this the other day, and he seemed to not be concerned at all. He said something about how Montgomery was really trying to get a feel for his sinker, and so he just kept going back to it over and over again, more than he normally would have. So I think he left some pitches in bad spots. He was, you know, obviously working on something. I wouldn't be too concerned about it at this point.
Yoshi in the chat says Montgomery is doing his spring training, and that is something to be said about that. Like, you want to see better results, but if the purpose of him going out there right now isn't really necessarily to try to have a great outing, but it's to work on one specific pitch,
that's
kind of easy to figure out for the opposing batters. And there's nothing like absolutely crushing a pitch against a man that makes $25 million when you're a AAA minor leaguer. So those guys are going out there and trying to do their damnedest to cause him to have a bad night, and they succeeded. But I'm not worried either. I think that Jordan Montgomery is going to be just fine. And I think even if he comes up and his first couple of starts aren't great, what you'd want to see, I think it's still a matter of the timing, how late he signed with this team, and him just getting back on track as far as the starting pitcher is concerned.
He's just been really consistent. I mean, few pitchers have been as consistent when healthy as Jordan Montgomery. So, yeah, I mean, Zach Gallen had some spring training starts where he was terrible, and now he has a 1.64 ERA. So it's way too early to really be concerned about anything with Jordan Montgomery. We'll see what he looks like in the majors and then kind of evaluate from there.
All right. Next question comes from Cameron McCarthy. Any relation there to maybe somebody on this team? Expanding on the earlier question from Aaron Hughes, Cameron asks, what happens when Perdomo and Thomas get back?
So Geraldo Perdomo, when he gets back, I mean, I guess the D-backs are going to have a... I mean, Kevin Newman is probably the obvious answer there, right? You probably send Kevin Newman back to Reno, and then Geraldo Perdomo becomes your everyday shortstop. I mean, maybe, you know, if Blaze is in a place where they would rather get him every day, AB's in Reno, I mean, maybe that's something they would consider. But yeah, Kevin Newman wasn't, you know, he wasn't here on the opening day roster. He is very much here to kind of help make up for Perdomo's absence. So that would probably be my expectation there if I had to guess.
Blaze gets pretty regular ABs. I don't think that should be an issue.
I mean, but he's getting regular ABs in part because Perdomo is not here right now. Right.
I feel like he was DHing against.
But he also was DHing in part because Randall Grichuk wasn't back. So once you get Perdomo back and Grichuk is also here,
he's earned
it becomes at-bats. A little bit harder to find at bats for Blaze.
I think he's earned at bats comparing him to Grichuk.
But that's what Grichuk is here for, right? Like, you signed Grichuk for almost the sole purpose of being your DH against left-handed pitchers. So I don't know. I mean, I don't disagree with you necessarily. I think Blaze has certainly earned a shot. But and I don't know if Kevin Newman is necessarily like someone that they value super highly and like feel like they really need to have stick around beyond when Perdomo comes back. So that would still be my expectation there. As far as Alec Thomas is concerned, when he comes back, that one, I imagine that Jake McCarthy would maybe be the odd man out there now that Randall Grichuk is back. But we'll have to wait and see.
There's a lot of things I hate about this, just because nobody's doing a good enough job single-handedly to be the obvious answer, right? Feels like Blaze is the obvious answer due to his bat and his contributions. And again, we know that he's not as bad defensively as he's shown. We know this is kind of just a bad stretch. Hopefully, much like pitchers that come in and get shelled and then are able to settle down and have better performances like Ryan Nelson has had recently, this is something that he can get under control and can still be an asset both defensively and at the plate. His arm is incredible. So for Blaze to be, a detriment defensively out there, it's sad, and it's not really the case. I think it's just temporary. So hopefully we see him step up. But they have a lot of difficult decisions to make. And again, there is the factor that when these guys come back, they have to make sure that they are outperforming the players that they're replacing, because then that makes things even more complicated should they struggle when they come back. So Diamondbacks just need healthy bodies. Let's get everybody back. Let's worry about who goes down and where they go later, because right now I'm still worried about when we're going to see Geraldo Perdomo again and when we're going to see E-Rod make his debut.
Yeah, the timing is also a factor for sure. I mean, I think there's a pretty good chance that you see Alec Thomas before you see Geraldo Perdomo. So, you know, maybe that factors into which players they would move on from. But yeah, we'll see.
All right, what else we got there, Damon? Chris, you son of a at Sir Gorilla, Chris asks, Derek, do you prefer Violet Orchid? Is it Orchid? I don't know if that's the Orchid or Lavender.
I was going to say Orchard.
Orchard?
I mean, yeah, it looks like
Orchard.
That.
But I think he means Orchid. I don't know. Orchard? Orchard
is it Orchard color? A color?
I don't believe so.
I really think Orchard is a color.
I think we need to dunk on Chris for that. But because Chris is trying to dunk on me.
Yeah, it's Orchid. It's O-R-C-H-I-D.
It's a shade of purple. And I get where you're going with this, Chris. He wants to know where the hair counter is at, basically, is where he wants to know. He wants to know which shade of purple I'm going to dye my hair when the Diamondbacks inevitably do have a winning record in the month of April. How many are, do we got eight more? They need eight more wins. They got two over the weekend. We were at 10, I believe, last week.
Yeah. Yeah. They need eight more wins. Yep. They go 8-7 or better the rest of the way. Derek is dying his hair purple again, which is amazing.
I need at least
they were,
to send
I think
you
they
that
were,
Nutrafol.
Weren't they 4-7 when you, I don't remember the record when you said that, but yeah, things have trended in the direction of Derek dying his hair purple, which is a delightful thing for all of us.
I don't find it to be so delightful. I don't think that I feel like what the Diamondbacks are doing are sandbagging. I feel like they're purposefully losing games.
They need to be 500 by the end of the month. Is that right?
I said a winning record.
Winning record.
I said a winning record in the month of April.
I think they were. Yeah, I want to say they were 5-8. When you originally made that declaration, they had to go 11-7 the rest of the way.
Tony is suggesting that if I haven't picked out a stylist already, maybe I use the same one that Lourdes uses. That'd be awkward if we showed up on the same day. Like, he got there for a touch-up, and then I'm sitting there reading a magazine waiting.
I've told you guys that I actually, like, my barber said he cut Lourdes's hair one time.
Really?
Yeah. So we could get you over there, Derek.
At least I need the Nutrafol. Like, it just got to be respectable again. It's just, it's like, it's there. but it probably might not be if I dye it again. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, that much bleach 2 years in a row, probably not good. Probably not good. I'm too old to be doing this kind of stuff at this point. But should they have a winning record, I am a man of my hair. My hair? A man of my hair. I'm a man of my word. But yeah, I guess we have a tracker now thing that... Did you change it? Is he a troll doll now? Oh, look at that guy.
There he is.
There he is. 8 more games till that guy makes his first appearance. So that's great. Of course, a great way for you to go watch these games here at home, especially the series against the Cubs, to get your tickets through Game Time. That way you can root on the Diamondbacks, making me dye my hair purple in person. You save up to 60% off when buying last minute for not only Diamondbacks games, all sports, all concerts, comedy shows, all sorts of events. You can save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And you can also get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy, so you know exactly what you're looking at. When they say obstructed view, you will see exactly what is obstructing your view. WWE, don't put me behind the stage ever again, I swear to God. But anyway, lowest price guaranteed. Game Time, if not, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference, by the way. That's what they mean when they say lowest price guaranteed. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now. Create an account and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and use code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Also, if you want to catch up with Damon, you know that he lives at Illegal Pete's. It's a great place to go and feed yourself.
That sounds so good right now. Right, I might have that later, actually.
Well, have you fed yourself today? Let me ask you that.
No,
have you consumed any food besides that cup of coffee in front of you?
No, yeah, you know the deal.
I know the deal.
If Damon doesn't eat at Illegal Pete's, he doesn't eat, Derek.
That's true.
Iced coffee and Illegal Pete's. That's my entire diet.
His regimen is like reverse nachos and queso dip, and that's it. And some margaritas, because obviously margaritas are strongest in Arizona.
It's all the nutrition you need.
It's
right
all. Well, I mean, it covers all four food groups, Jesse. It absolutely does.
100%.
But Illegal Pete's is here to bring you a win with their legendary soundcheck deal. Bring in your ticket stub from any ticketed event and get a draft beer or house margarita, which is probably the way you should go, for a penny. Illegal Pete's wants to celebrate with you, whether it's a pregame or a postgame party. They got you covered on all your game day needs. Must purchase an adult entree to redeem Illegal Pete's soundcheck deal. That's easy enough. Go to Illegal Pete's, your go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer, and Damon. We got some more Mailbag Monday questions. That notorious troublemaker Piece of Yoshi sent us one. I know that. Let's get his out there. The Jace Peterson fan club, founder and proprietor of the Jace Peterson fan club. It's a fan club of one, Jesse. It says, are we going to do something about the MLB Twitter account calling Colton Cowser the milkman on Galentine's Day yesterday, or are we going to let it slide?
I think I have some bad news for D-backs fans here, Derek. Cowser? I mean, that's pretty good. Like, Cowser lends itself to the milkman nickname better.
Absolutely not.
Better than Gallon.
Absolutely
does.
Not.
Number one, Gallon is not spelled like the actual gallon, like of milk.
Okay.
And number two, you can have a gallon of more than gallons. Don't just have to be of milk. Gallon is simply a volume measurement. You can have a gallon of gas. You can have a gallon of
gallons of gas.
What else do we measure?
Why haven't we done that yet? Gallons of gas?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe gas we have to branch out a little bit.
By the gallon. Circle K tie-in is right there. My God, what are we doing? Max is going to be furious that we haven't done this already.
You can measure multiple things with gallons, but Cowser, like that's, I mean,
he's got a point. He can be the cow. They can moo at him. There's other things they can do. Just because he has cow in his name does not make him the milkman. First of all, gallon delivers, right? And he delivers by the gallon. And here's the thing. He looks like a milkman. Are we not going to say that he doesn't look like a milkman? Has anybody not seen Zach Gallen and thought, milkman, because he looks like he's got the glasses. He just needs the white hat and the shirt. He looks like a milkman. This is crazy. It's crazy talk. Not to mention the fact that that's not the way nicknames work, right? All these people were getting on me because apparently when he was younger, Corbin Carroll nicknamed the Machine. And everybody's like, Pujols is the Machine. And I get that. I get that. Pujols, not somebody we need to worry about anymore. That nickname can now be passed on. Maybe he's like El Hijo.
Yeah, but nobody calls Corbin Carroll the Machine.
Apparently his high school teammates did. I don't know. But it was in there. Anyway, a nickname can't just be like, yeah, it's a cool nickname, but it's already Zach Gallen's. That's the way it works. Right? I mean, has this man been called the Milkman for years and years and years before Zach Gallen? Goes back to the origin story of the nickname, right?
Jesse, you can't just steal someone's nickname like that. It doesn't work like that. You have to snatch their chain first. Maybe if Colton Cowser hits like three bombs off
Now I'm the Milkman. Yeah.
So you're waiting for the head-to-head to...
No, it's Zach Gallen's. He has the original. Until it gets stolen from him. You can't just be like... You can't steal the kid off of Ken Griffey.
Exactly.
That would be absurd, exactly. Jesse. Listen to yourself.
It would be like somebody coming in and calling themselves the mayor of Phoenix.
It would be insane. Or the Thunderstick.
Without having beat up Kate Gallego first.
Theo Mackey starts calling himself the Thunderstick. You're cool with that?
Yeah. He's right. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. He would be furious. You'd be furious, Jesse. Can't just steal another man's nickname. He's right. You have to beat him up. That's the way it goes. All right. Next question. What do we got? Ryan Hanley. Hanley asks, if you could have any job within Chase Field, what would it be? I would be a Golden Glover. I would be the worst, but it would be must-see TV. I've been told that I don't have the fielding skills to be a Golden Glover, and you're probably right.
Yeah,
Golden Glovers have sometimes some line drives at them. I have no interest in doing that in the name of what? Just being out there to like protect the fans or what? Like, what is the Golden Glover's job now? Just to make sure the balls get out of play so that like a outfielder doesn't have to go get it and throw it out of the way. I get it. Not interested.
Derek, you'd be the pork belly nachos guy. Let's be real.
I mean, that's low hanging fruit. That's low hanging fruit. Let's be real. No, I wouldn't. I'd be terrible at that because I would eat them. So I'm supposed to sell them? I'm supposed to give them away to someone else?
I'm saying that would be the job you would pick because you'd be sneaking a bunch of snack breaks.
Taste of Chase does have a connecting door to the Churro Dog headquarters. They're located in that same corridor. I feel like I would take over the organ.
That was my answer, Derek. One of us is like actually played piano and like actually played an organ before, and it's not you, my friend.
All right. Well, you can fine. Can I be the PA announcer? I'll take over for Chuck.
That's a good one, right?
I think you would be a great organ guy, and Derek would be a great PA announcer. That actually would be probably pretty good.
I think that's an insult to my PA skills.
You are a commentator, if you would, right? You are somebody who could call a game. I'm not saying you're bad in the broadcast booth, but your voice booming through Chase Field or mine.
I think it'd be pretty electric,
going,
personally.
Lourdes Gurriel Jr. that wasn't a good one, but
I hate it already.
Anyway,
I would be a rally back.
Oh,
just dancing on top of the dugout.
Yeah, you could pull that off with the new
philosophy of the rally backs. You would be great at it because their job is to tell fans what to do. So you would go like,
don't
when James
do the
Outman,
wave. Don't yeah. do the wave.
Well, when James Outman is in the batter's box, you would literally be inches away from him, yelling at the crowd, "Boo this man!" Yeah, you'd be great at that.
Outman.
Yeah,
actually, Ryan makes a good point here. I think I would really love to be on the grounds crew. That'd be therapeutic. That's just guys being dudes.
That's just yeah. It is. It's just a good time. It's just a good time. All right, what else we got? Our guy RV and Bunch of Numbers says, Derek, ever since you did the AI episode, I don't believe you are real anymore. Prove to me you're him. I don't know how I don't know if I am really Derek or not. Like, wouldn't AI be confused and think that they themselves were in fact the person that they were supposed to be copying? I don't know.
I mean, you did a whole thing about how I was an AI robot, too.
Well, I mean, you still are potentially AI. I haven't decided that very much myself. But I don't know. I could do the first verse of the Animaniacs song about the world, and I think that I don't know if that proves that I am AI or I'm not.
Yeah.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Barbuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. That's the first verse. I just did that off the top of my head. AI would need time to research that in order to get that song right. And there's no way it's playing it in double time. So I hope I've proved myself. And I don't know how I can otherwise. So that's all I got.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Next question. Let's move on. Elizabeth, of course, here has to absolutely set the world on fire at the burrito store with her question. What is the correct way to eat an Oreo? There is no way he's getting this right.
The correct way to eat an Oreo, Derek, is to remove the Oreo from the package, insert the Oreo into your mouth, and chew. And it's great.
Idiot.
It's awesome.
What an absolute
It tastes
idiot.
Amazing.
That is insane.
I don't know why we have to overcomplicate this.
Because it's a sandwich cookie and there's a very particular way to eat it. First of all, you're starting out with a regular Oreo. What are you, new here? I don't mess with anything less than a double stuff.
Okay.
And if I'm being honest, I'm going mega stuff, if I'm being honest, because when you know mega stuff exists,
that's
what's
crazy.
The point of
You're
going
a crazy
back?
Man.
No, I'm not, because yes, I'm gonna tell you exactly how I eat it. I very gingerly crack the Oreo. I turn it, thus making it free from the cream, right? But you gotta do it carefully, or else you might break one of the cookies, and then it's useless, and then you have to throw it away in the trash.
Yeah,
then
all over.
You take one kind of bite, if you would, of the cream in the middle, thus leaving a little bit of cream on both edges. Thus, you get to experience the cream on its own. Then you get to twist it back together, dunk it in milk, half of it, eat half of it, then dunk the other part. You gotta get your fingers a little milk. I get it, and then you eat the other half, and that's how you eat an Oreo.
I've never been down with the dipping in milk.
That's
thing.
Crazy.
That
I think
is
that's,
crazy.
That's crazy. It's really good with milk.
It is good. It is good
never
with milk.
Been down
but
with
they
dipping
gotta,
in milk.
They gotta be separate, Derek. I'm all for
separate.
Having a glass of milk with Oreos, but I want to take a bite of the Oreo and then
Why?
I want to drink some milk, and I go and we go back and forth, and they complement each other perfectly.
That's
I don't need to
insane.
Try to merge them together into one thing. That's
Oreos
not the way it was meant
to be. That's why they're so hard. That's why the cookie is so hard. It's meant to be dunked. It is a superior product when combined with milk. Do you eat peanut butter by itself? With no jelly on the other side?
No, that would be outrageous.
But
that's not like the consistency there works together. Here you're taking like a cookie and then you're just making it like all soggy, which like cookies aren't meant to be soggy.
No,
I don't feel like this is complicated.
Because you've left it in the milk too long that long if it's soggy. There's a process here. It's called dipping. It's not called leaving it soaking milk in, Jesse. It is called dipping. Oh my God. I knew I was going to get angry at you, but I had no idea that it was going to be. Look, Ryan says Jesse is unhinged.
Jesse with all kinds of bad milk.
You have me.
Today.
Look at it. Snakes
kinds.
On the diamond. Do you know how much it pains Michael to write that Derek is 100% correct here? It killed him to write that. And he still did because I'm right. Oh, anyway. All right.
Oh,
do we have a last question? Let's give it up to our guy, Tim. Tim Ankenman, of course, sends us an incredible question, and he says, why is there a 2018 team calendar in the team shop? Why would anyone buy this for $5? If the PHNX crew made a calendar, who is on each month and what are they doing? So first, let's address the picture. Damon, if you would, this fucking calendar is still for sale. It reduced $4.99, but the other day when I looked at it, it wasn't even $4.99, Jesse. It was like $10 still. It didn't make any sense.
So you're saying we could get a good deal if we wait another week? That's what I'm hearing.
Who would ever buy this?
Why would we want it? Where would we put it? It's ridiculous.
Look at all these traitors on the cover.
Oh.
AJ Pollock and David Peralta. Yeah, you think I want to celebrate these guys?
Not interested.
The two people I hate most in the world.
Hard pass. Hard pass. Not to mention that this isn't what it, does 2018 somehow line up with the calendar days from this year? Like, why is there just a 2018? Why stop there? Why not put a 2014 calendar or 2012? What are we doing?
I mean, the 2017 D-backs were pretty good, so I guess they felt the need to make a calendar the year after that. Which brings up the question, where is our 2024 Diamondbacks calendar?
That's correct.
Right?
That's
correct. You could do something with that. Team went all the way to the World Series. There's some pretty good photos along the way.
Yeah. Oh, God, some electric photos. Give me 12 months of Alec Thomas planting the flag.
I knew you were going to say
bank. But he asked another part of the question, and that was if we put together a calendar, who would be on it? What would they be doing? January, obviously, Saul in a diaper. Right? February, also Saul in a diaper, but with Cupid wings. No, February be us, giving you Valentine's because pitchers and catchers are reporting.
Galentine's Day. Yeah, come on.
Right there. It's right there. Right. It's a little Zach Gallen on that day. Let's see. March obviously belongs to Craig Morgan and his fire St. Patty's
no
Day.
No question
party.
About it.
There's no question there. But just an addendum. Every holiday except St. Patrick's Day has a face of Petey on it being mad that holiday exists and saying something about it being, you know, like, oh, this is just a greeting card holiday or something like that. But then on St. Patrick's Day, it's just a little picture of Petey playing the guitar because that one he likes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never even caught on to that with Petey. Is that a thing? He doesn't like any holiday but St. Patty's Day?
He doesn't like a lot of things in life. He just doesn't enjoy. He doesn't like New Year's Day. It would just be Petey and it would be like, oh, there's a bunch of drunks on the road. I'm going to stay home and fall asleep at 9 p.m. That would be what the New Year's Day little thing would be. And it would be Petey making a sad face. April is like maybe Shane and Totri in like a sheep and a lion costume, you know, they go in like a sheep, come out like a lion thing.
Yeah,
right?
that feels right.
I mean, we could do this, but this is, we're pretty much just going to dress people up in costumes that look funny the whole time. And that's essentially going to be it. Right.
Christmas
is Jesse once again. December is Jesse waiting till the last minute to buy Christmas gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's him just standing in a store.
With like a very full grocery cart, like at Target on Christmas Eve, something like that.
It just packed empty shelves. Yeah. It's great. Anyway, Gabriel says, Derek and Jesse holding hands like Alex and Corbin. No, it would be me and him doing what Lourdes Gurriel and Gabriel Moreno were doing in the dugout the other day.
We're probably going to have to recreate that.
Yeah.
If you
when I dye my hair purple, we'll figure that one out. But
we could do the outfield celebration.
Yeah.
The three of us.
Yeah, the sexy one. Yeah.
Derek and Jesse holding hands.
There's no way he's doing
hips.
That. There's no way.
All right. We'll find someone else.
We'll find someone. You know who would do that with us? Sean. We'll get Sean back here. We'll have him fly back out.
We'll
see him eventually. But of course, we thank all of you guys for your Mailbag Monday questions. Mailbag Monday would not be what it is without you. So again, thank you for the wonderful questions. We appreciate you guys stopping by today. Before we get out of here, we did want to take a moment to, of course, have you drop a like, because Gabby loves that as much as he loves nuzzling into Lourdes's hair. But we also very much love Brent Strom doing the Lord's work, Jesse, because Brent Strom, according to this tweet, Brent Strom was dressing down a young man at Chase Field who apparently was wearing a Dodgers cap. Now, there are several things that are right about this, right? Of course, first of all, you see Brent Strom very sternly talking to this young man. This does not appear to be like a joking situation. He's got the finger point down. He's very engaged with him. This is not a Dodgers game. So I wonder if that's part of what Stromy is saying to him here, right?
Valid point.
You're not, this isn't the time or the place.
That's the worst move.
Read the room.
All the people that wear Yankees and Dodgers stuff to Chase Field for games against the Diamondbacks and Rangers.
Legit question. What's worse, doing that about two teams that aren't playing in that game or just wearing a completely different sports jersey like a Suns jersey to a Diamondbacks.
I'd rather see a Suns jersey.
Okay.
I mean, what if it was like a Luka jersey or like Giannis or something?
I mean, it like I guess it's just like to me that that's just like a shirt, and like this situation is like
you're actively there, kind of being a dick.
You're like, hey, look at my Cubs shirt. Like, yeah. Dude, no one cares about your Cubs shirt.
Yeah. This is a Diamondbacks fucking Cardinals game.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, yeah, leave us alone.
Yeah. No one cares. But what do you say? What do you think about this? What do you think about Brent Strom doing this? Is this good for multiple reasons?
It seems pretty on brand to me, honestly. I can't say I was all that surprised.
You know what this makes me think of is one day, and I've told this story on the show before, Evan Longoria had a little kid ask him for an autograph. And this kid was obviously just asking any player that walked by to sign his ball. Didn't even care. Like the ball boys might as well have signed the ball as far as this kid was concerned.
6-year-old could have done his research. Man.
Right. Come on. You know. Oh, no. Don't do that. This kid was older than that. But
yeah, no, he was.
He was much older than that. But Evan did ask him, like, what's my name? And the kid had no idea. And honestly, sometimes that life advice sticks with you when someone like Brent Strom looks at you and tells you, like, hey, don't wear that hat here when we're not playing the Dodgers. In fact, don't wear that hat at all. Or when Evan Longoria asks you what his name and says, hey, you should really know players' names before you ask them for an autograph. It's good advice, and it's advice hopefully that sticks with you as a young man. But he's right. Don't ever wear that goddamn Dodgers hat.
I feel like that kid is probably never going to wear a Dodgers hat to a Diamondbacks game again after getting a talking to from the Brent Strom.
No, in fact, he's going to come back in all Dodgers gear with all of his Dodgers friends, Jesse.
That would be
that's what this generation does. They're not scared of anything.
That'd be a sad ending to the situation. But I also suspect that guy will be able to throw like a 96 mile an hour rising fastball in a few years too. That's another right. result of this this Brent Strom interaction.
That vertical ride is going to be incredible. Yeah, but of course, tonight Diamondbacks have the Cubs at 6:40. Make sure to stay tuned for that. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, Damon, the People's Producer, is at Damon Dog. That's DAWG. We are Damon's Dogs.
Bark, bark.
Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. Make sure to follow us tonight for all the updates on the game and maybe some more memes that I can churn out while I'm doing my taxes. But in the meantime, make sure all roads...
I'm the procrastinator.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I knew you were going to get me on that one. All roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We will be back tomorrow with a post-game show and another post-game show on Wednesday. So keep it locked right here for all of that. Also, make sure to check out Jesse's brand new episode of On the Record with Ryan Herrera from the CHGO Cubs podcast.
Yeah.
Great information on this Cubs series coming up that starts tonight, so you can get caught up on all of the visiting teams information with this guy on the record. So do not miss that. That's on YouTube.
Let's get down to 7 here.
Yep. Let's get it down to no. Let's what? No. What are you doing? Don't confuse.
Big opportunity tonight, Jesse. Oh, go above 500.
Big opportunity.
You win tonight. You just got to go 500 rest of the way.
No. Yeah. It's easy money. It's in the bag. Yeah.
Mistakes were made. But anyway, all right. Well, we thank you guys again for stopping by. Of course, we will see you again tomorrow. And in the meantime, you guys have yourselves a wonderful night. We appreciate you so much. Ryan says tax day is Jesse's Christmas. He did love it. These two were talking
little
about
you know.
How much they loved doing their taxes. David, too, though. He's guilty, too. He was like, I wouldn't say I loved
doing my taxes. It did take a long time, and was up late last night. But TurboTax, man. No free ads.
No free ads. No free
ads. I'm not going to say anything else. No free ads.
Literally, like, maybe, like, minutes before the show, me and Jesse were like, yeah, we don't really mind doing our taxes all that much. And Derek's screaming at us, just angry.
Yeah, because you guys are psychopaths. But anyway, you guys are wonderful. We appreciate you guys so much for stopping by. We will see you tomorrow. And in the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful night. Thank you for stopping by. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when Brent Strom doesn't have to yell at you for wearing a Dodgers hat at Chase Field.